Okay, so I'm going to read one short poem from this new book. And it makes a rather obscure allusion to the waffling of Van Halen, and their indecisiveness about who their lead singer is, or should be. So some of you might hear it and some of you might not. The poem is called The Journalist, and it has a little epigraph from Aragon, Louis Aragon. My body is a roulette wheel, and I am betting on red. One man reported that his computer appeared to have been hacked by a redhead, and she sang to herself while doing it. Another conveyed his position on recent developments in Van Halen. He was an anti-Samite. I want to be immune again. He paused his own body. This is the violence of wisdom. But like we don't remember the day we were born, no one ever thinks about the first letter of a sentence with fondness. Yap, 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 ambient poetics. Okay. So there was a request that I read an essay, and I don't really have an essay, but I have this controversial paragraph here called Social Cripples. So this is probably not a very nice thing to read, and you'll know why, but it's a self-implication more than anything else. A poet once passed on a little witticism to me that is stuck in my mind, and indeed been quite useful in reflection on the occasionally troublesome way that people interact in the writing community. All poets are social cripples. It's certainly something I've suspected. As Christian Book once said to me, he's willing to put up with the most rebarbative of people provided they are good artists. I could have suggested that most good artists are rebarbative and that they usually seem primed for some attack, some threat to their ontological status as infinitely ingenious, creative, and thinking beings. Where could one go with such an insight if one is willing to grant this witticism anything suggesting philosophical content? I tend to think of it along the lines of something Richard Rorty has written about language, deriving, he claims, from the writings of linguist Donald Davidson, that the function of language is to make people more predictable to each other. Try it. Walk into a room of people and not say anything for a half hour and relish the tension in the air. It's a good, basic, portable truth, which hardly suffices as a grand theory of language, but which, nonetheless, puts into focus a large portion of what one might consider the content of poetry. If all language, even the most basic, such as that used when purchasing oranges, the classic examples always seem to be the language used in commerce, is merely some version of foreign policy, then certainly all language is charged with implications that extend beyond one's involuntary sublimation of its import. Which is to say, there are some elements of foreign policy that we are all quite comfortable with. Some of us can safely walk into a store and purchase oranges without much psychological trauma. Likewise, not many interesting poems are going to be created based on the specific qualities of this interaction. Certainly one could deterritorialize the transaction to suggest the interrelation of it with the spectacle or global economy. An interesting poem, perhaps a funny one like that by Steve McCaffrey, that is a logarithmic over-elaboration of the saying of the word hello. Likewise, one could sentimentalize it, tying buying oranges into a nostalgic reminiscence of buying oranges on the Amalfi Coast, a bad poem. The point being that poets spend so much time troubling the issues of foreign relations, and interesting, engaged poets tend to do this troubling along the entire range of relations, from preparations to the seductive embrace, terrorizing manufactured consent, chipping away fervently at the canon, not to mention purchasing oranges, that it is no wonder they end up social cripples. All language has been so incredibly deterritorialized, which is to say, made uncanny, that the engines are most likely not able to be turned off when talking over some basic issue like baseball scores or haircuts. I notice that I'm writing my worst poems when I feel most comfortable in the community, and that when I am perceived as somewhat friendly, my poems are rather bland attempts at continuing good relations. This is merely one approach one could take to this issue.